Okay, hello everyone. This is Dr. Roger Paul, and tonight we're going to continue our study of the local universe Sons of God. And we're going to start at section 8, 3581. We actually read this paragraph last week, but we're going to read it again, start in a good place that way. And let's say a little prayer and then we'll get started. Father, thank you for bringing us together tonight that we might study your wonderful revelation for us. Pray that you'll open our hearts and minds that we might remember a little bit of this and share it with others and take it with us to the mansion worlds. We thank you for you this life every day, and we thank you for all your many blessings you give us. We say this in the name of your son, Michael, Jesus of Nazareth. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. The Lennon and Dick sons. Diane, would you like to start, please, dear?
Sure. The Lennon and Dick sons. After the creation of the Verondadex, the creator sun and the universe mother spirit unite for the purpose of bringing into existence the third order of universe sonship, the Lennon and Dick. Although occupied with very varied tasks connected with the system administrations, they are best known as system sovereigns, the rulers of the local systems, and as planetary princes, the administrative heads of the inhabited worlds.
Okay, so it's the Lanonandek sons that rule the systems and the local systems, and they are the planetary princes. And this is the class of sons that both Lucifer, Satan, and Kaligasha, all three, were part of when they rebelled. Okay, so that's why I wanted to review that. Well, I went too far, did I? Didn't I? Sorry, y'all. A great moment, and that's unstable. Says my internet. Letch, would you take the next one, please?
Okay. Being a later and lower as concerns divinity levels, order of sonship creation, these beings were required to pass through certain courses of training on the Melchizedek worlds in preparation for subsequent service. They were the first students in the Melchizedek University and were classified and certified by their Melchizedek teachers and examiners according to ability, personality, and attainment.
Okay, so they were trained on the Melchizedek worlds in the Melchizedek University, and during that training, they were classified as primary, secondary, and tertiary according to how they tested out. Okay, and once they're tested, they stay in that order forever. They don't ever go from tertiary to secondary or secondary to primary. Okay, but depending on how gifted they are when they went through the school, they are assigned to their jobs according to how they tested. Now, an interesting part about this, which I probably mentioned before, is this is the same school that we will be in when we get to the Melchizedek universities. We'll be taking these same classes, right? And this is one of the sticking points for Lucifer, because he went through these schools and he knew that mortals were going to go through the same schools he did to learn how to do the same things he was. And so that created a jealousy situation, right? But it's important to know that once they get tested as Lanonandek sons, they stay in that department forever. All right. So that's important. All right. let's see, Gary, would you take that first little sentence and the number one, please?
The University of Nebadon began this its existence with exactly 12 million Lanaanondex. And when they had passed, am I right? And when they had passed through the Gesedic sphere, they were divided into final tests into three classes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Go ahead and take the first one too.
Okay. Number one, the primary Lanaanondex of the highest rank there were 709,841. These are the sons designated as system sovereigns and assistants to the Supreme Council of the constellations and as counselors in the higher administrative work of the universe.
Okay, so this primary Lanaanondex is the class in which Satan was in. Okay, so he was our system sovereign. So as the system sovereign, he was in charge of 619 planets at the time. Okay, there will eventually be 1,000 planets in our system, but that's how many planets have been inhabited, and that's what he was in charge of when he rebelled. And of course, we know, 87 planets followed him into rebellion, which is not good. So that's a primary Lanaanondex sun. Now, our new primary Lanaanondex sun is named Raniforge. Okay, so he replaced Lucifer. All right, let's go on to the secondary. Millie, would you take the secondary?
Yes. Secondary Lanaanondex of this order, emerging from Melchizedek, there were 10,234,601, and they are assigned as planetary princes and to the reserves of that order.
Okay, now see this number of 10 million? Guess why there's over 10 million of them? Because there's going to be 10 million planets in our universe, right, of Nebadon, one for each planet. Now, the 234,601 are the reserves of that core. So if one of any of them rebel or default or they need to swap them out, they have plenty of reserves to do that with. Okay. And I believe Lucifer and Caligastia both were in that secondary. No, I stand corrected. I believe Satan was a primary Lanaanondex also, if I remember correctly. But Caligastia was a secondary Lanaanondex. That's why he was a planetary prince. All right. So there's 10 million of those. So with the 709,000, there's plenty of the primary Lanaanondex for each system because it takes three of the primary Lanaanondex per system. You have a head and then, you know, a backup and that sort of thing. So, all right, tertiary Lanaanondex. Rodney, would you take this one?
Yes. This group contained 1,000,000. 55,558. These sons function as a subordinate assistants, messengers, custodians, commissioners, observers, and prosecute the miscellaneous duties of a system and its component worlds.
So these were the lowest of the class, of the three classes. So they get whatever's left over to do, right? All right. And that's just kind of a picture of those. All right. Here we go again. Jane, would you take this first sentence, please?
Okay. It is not possible, as it is with evolutionary beings, for these sons to progress from one group to another. When subjected to the Melchizedek training, when once tested and classified, they serve continuously in the rank assigned. Neither do these sons engage in reproduction, Their number in the universe is stationary.
Okay, go ahead and read the rest of that down to the end of the reserve chords there, too, Jane. It tells us how many they are.
Okay. In round numbers, the Lennon on Deck's order of suns is classified on Salvington as follows. Universe coordinators and constellation counselors, 100,000. System sovereigns and assistants, 600,000. Planetary princess and reserves, 10 million. Messenger corps, 400,000. Custodians and recorders, 100,000. Reserve corps, 800,000.
Okay, so like I said earlier, that once they're classified and tested, they stay in that same rank throughout the rest of their lives, right? And in doing that, they don't change from one type of being to the other. They stay the same all the time. And pretty much most of these being in each one of these classes stay in those same positions too, unless some emergency comes up. But notice here, it says planetary princes and reserves, 10 million, one for each planet, right? 10 million planets. All right. Pam, would you take the next one?
I'm trying to get back on. Let me see if this is it. Now I switched on video, and let me see. Maybe
you lost
this is
the screen.
Well, I have a little blue box, and then I have everybody's thumbnail, but I'm not seeing the screen. And let me see. I'm back to me. Recording switch taking general screen. You're viewing view options, and it says hide view panel, exit. Well,
can't
so
see
now
it,
huh? I'm, huh?
Can't see the type?
No, I don't know how to get back there.
Okay, well, we'll skip you this time around.
Yeah.
Diane, would you take the next one?
Since Lennon on Deck are somewhat lower order of sonship than the Melchizedek and the Verondadex, they are of even greater service in the subordinate units of the universe, where they are capable of drawing nearer the lower creatures of the intelligent races. They also stand in greater danger of going astray, of departing from the acceptable technique of universe government. But these Lennonandex, especially the primary order, are the most able and versatile of all local universe administrators. In executive ability, they are excelled only by Gabriel and his unrevealed associates.
You're muted, Roger.
Okay, so since they are a lower order of sonship, they're nearer to us, so they can sympathize with us easier than some of the other sons of God. So that's one of the good things about it. But being of the lower order too, they're more likely, they got a wider range of activity, and they're more likely to rebel than the other orders. All right.
Hey, Roger.
Yeah.
I was able to get back to the screen.
Okay. Number nine, the Lennonandek rulers. Would you take that first sentence, I guess?
Not sure.
Yeah, it's a paragraph. It's two sentences.
The Lennonandex are the continuous rulers of the planets and the rotating sovereigns of the systems. Such a sun now rules on Jerusalem, the headquarters of your local system of inhabited worlds.
Okay, notice it says the system sovereigns rotate from one system to another and jobs, right? Where the planetary princes, once they've been assigned as the planetary princes, usually stay with that planet indefinitely. Okay, so they don't rotate those. All right. Let's see here. Let's go back to Gary again.
The sister sovereigns rule in commissions of two or three on the headquarters of each system of an inhabited worlds. The constellation father names one of these Lennonandex as chief. Every deca millennium, sometimes
10,000 years in our time, right? All right.
Sometimes no change in the head of the trio is made, the matter being entirely optional with the constellation rulers. System governments do not suddenly change in personnel unless a tragedy of some sort occurs.
And that's exactly what happened in our system, right? Because of the Lucifer Rebellion. Now notice it says the constellation rulers, and who are the constellation rulers? Those are Verondadex, right? The Most Highs, right? Just remind you of that. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I thought I got my order mixed up.
Yeah, it's the constellation. The constellation rulers are the Verondadex, and they're called the Most Highs. That's the rulers of the constellation.
I was categorizing as the sons. Verondadex, Verondadex, and okay.
Yeah, the Verondadex, the Melchizedex is the highest. Lenanon, the Verondadex comes next, then the Lenanondex, and then the
Life carriers.
Right. And then, of course, the Adams and Eves. Okay. Let's see. Millie stepped up. Rodney, would you take that next one? Next sentence?
Yes, of course. When system sovereigns or assistants are recalled, their places are filled by selections made by the Supreme Council, located on the constellation headquarters from the reserves of that order, a group which is larger on Edentia than the average indicated.
Okay, why would the group be larger in our case? Because we've had trouble here. Yeah, the rebellion, right?
Yeah.
So we've taken a little bit more supervision, as they say, right? All right.
Up a lot.
A lot more supervision, really. Jane, would you take the next one, please?
Yes, the Supreme Lenanondex Councils are stationed.
What's the next one, Jane?
The next one down, yes.
The next one, yeah.
The system sovereigns are true to their names. They are well nigh sovereign in the local affairs of the inhabited worlds. They are almost paternal in their direction of the planetary princess, the material sons, and the ministering spirits. The personal grasp of the sovereign is all but complete. These rulers are not supervised by Trinity observers from the central universe. They are the executive division of the local universe and as custodians of the enforcement of legislative mandates and as executives for the application of judicial verdicts. They present the one place in all universe administration where personal disloyalty to the will of the Michael Sun could most easily and readily entrench itself and seek to assert itself.
Okay. Being that the system sovereigns are pretty much do what they want to most of the time, you can see why in the case of Urantia, our planet, right, that when Caligastia rebelled, Van requested help from the system sovereign, because that's who the system sovereign was, and that was Lucifer, right? And Lucifer came back with, you just follow the directions of whatever Caligastia tells you, right? So Van was not happy with that, so he sent a message to whom? The Most Highs, right? And when he did do that, that's when the circuits were cut off, because between the time he sent the message and the time the message started back, it was discovered that Caligastia had rebelled. So we were cut off, right? So that's why Van did not get his answer for 7 years. Okay. So it's a real, it's because this close paternal occupation of the system sovereigns over their planets that this happened. There was no Trinity observers or anything like that at the system headquarters that could notify the Most Highs or anybody else. So it takes a while for them to discover what's going on, basically. All right, so that's exactly what happened on our planet.
Oh, Roger.
Created quite a mess. Yeah.
For me, it just seems so strange. It would take 7 years because the communicative system is not so efficient, I guess.
Well, no, it's pretty efficient, but the problem was this. Rodney, when he requested a clarification, is what he did, and sent the message out, they responded to him immediately. All right. But the message got lodged you know, and could not be reinitiated. So, as far as the Most Highs were concerned, they thought they had, you know, taken care of the matter. But it hadn't. So when it finally got discovered that they didn't get their answer, which probably came from one of the angelic corps, more than likely, somebody in the angelic corps relayed the message that Van never got his answer from the Most Highs. And probably when that happened, then's when he found out his answer from the Most Highs, you know, probably through the angelic corps itself. Yeah, Jane.
You know, in a way, you can understand what took place there because Lucifer was active. I mean, he would, like, I am relating it something big, like, let's say the military, the head of the military of the United States, there is corruption, there is default, and someone is trying to get through to report to our president, well, it's going to be intercepted. They're going to block it because they're powerful and Lucifer was powerful.
Yeah, same principle, right? I mean, it really is.
Yeah, look at it that way.
Well, and if you really look at it closely, you think that if everyone on the planet was thinking, if we relate a message to our system sovereign, who was Lucifer, that he would take care of the problem, right? But he wasn't going to take care of the problem because he was the problem, right?
And that happens nowadays, even if we have corruption within the chief of police or someone like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have it in our government right now. It's a real problem. I mean, it happens all over. Yeah. So it took a while for it to all settle out. When it all settled out, of course, they sent a replacement, Laniforge, to replace Lucifer and took Lucifer off, right? I mean, I'm sure they took him away in chains and put him in prison. So, and that happened to Satan as well. Remember when Jesus was on the planet, he remarked he saw Satan fall, right? Mm-hmm. And the only reason that Caligasta was not taken off at the time was the fact that Jesus had not finished his bestowal and not been declared planetary prince, right? So they couldn't replace Caligasta until that was all finished and they had to assign a new planetary prince. Now, Caligasta has been replaced 2,000 years. So, you know, they said that at the time of this writing, he was still roaming free on the planet. So, you know, they could have gotten him any time since then. And it may be sometime in the future. We don't know. We may be notified when they do, too. So we'll have to wait and see. Mm-hmm. All right.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, what was Satan? I know he was.
Satan was the second. He was the first lieutenant for Lucifer. So he was one of the Lanonandek sons on the system capital. And he would travel. Both of them were in power there. Right?
Both were primary.
Primaries, right. Right. And Satan used to go from universe to universe. I mean, from planet to planet to check out and make sure everything was rolling like it was supposed to. And so when Lucifer rebelled, Satan went with him. And so he was part, the big part of the problem, because he went from planet to planet and talked these other Lanadondek sons and rebelling with their planets. And that's why there was 80 something planets rebelled, right? Because of Satan, you know? So that's why, if you remember, say Jesus's response to Satan was, you failed at your first trust, right? Remember when we talked about trust? He gave up his trust, you know, and failed at his assignment. So, okay. Pam, would you take the next one?
Our local universe?
Yeah.
Our local universe has been unfortunate in that over 700 sons of the Lanadondek order have rebelled against the universe government, thus precipitating confusion in several systems and on numerous planets. On this entire number of failures, only three were system sovereigns. Practically all of these sons belong to the second and third orders, planetary princes, and tertiary Lanadondeks.
So we know that there's been three rebellions in our local universe, right? So the three they're talking about were the three system sovereigns in which rebelled with their systems, and that's what this count is about. But that means that over 700 suns, so we could have had up to 700 planets that have been in rebellion in our local universe, right? So that's a lot of planets, if you think about it. So, because all of these were Lanadondek suns, I'm sure all of them were not planetary princes, but, you know, it's a thought. You think about it, you see that many of them, a good number of them must have been. Okay.
I wonder why so many. I mean, it just...
Well, you think about it. They say that Lucifer was a brilliant, beautiful being, right? He's not this devil that we think about. So, you know, it's these guys were misled and talked into things, you know. And it's interesting too, they have a process of rehabilitating the Lanadondek sons. Of course, they never get assigned to the same job again, but they can do less menial jobs, you know. So interesting though. Letch, would you take the next one, please?
Yes. Our local universe has been unfortunate in that over 700 sons of the Lanadondek.
We read that.
Yes. The larger number of these sons who have lapsed from integrity does not indicate any fault in the creatorship. They could have been made divinely perfect, but they were so created that they might better understand and draw near to the evolutionary creatures dwelling on the worlds of time and space.
So since they were created so they could understand us better, that means they're more likely to rebel like we have, you know. It really is. So, which is unfortunate, because they could have been made perfect to the point where they would never default. You know, look at the Melchizedeks. They never default, right? All right.
Well, I was thinking that, you know, a lot of these other beings were corrupted because of the power of a magnificent personality. You know, like Hitler was that way. He had a tremendous magnetism that drew people, and people will tend to overlook that when they get inspired by them.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. All right, dear, would you take the next one?
Of all the local universes in Nirvantan, our universe has, with the exception of Henselen, lost the largest number of this order of suns. On Universa, it is a consensus that we have had so much administrative trouble in Nebadon because our sons of the Vrandek order have been created with such a large degree of personal liberty in choosing and planning. I do not make this observation by way of criticism. The creator of our universe has full authority and power to do this. It is the contention of our high rulers that while such free choosing sons make excessive trouble in the earlier ages of the universe, when things are fully sifted and finally settled, the gains of higher loyalty and fuller volitional service on the part of these thoroughly tested sons will far more than compensate for the confusion and tribulations of earlier times.
So because they're given such leeway on everything, in the earlier times when they're not as wise, they have more trouble with them. But as time goes on, they become wiser and wiser, and it makes them better leaders, basically. Kind of like us. Yeah, we start out in this life and as children, and you know, we don't have any common sense. You know, you think about it. I mean, look at your kids. They make bad decisions.
You have to teach them.
You have to teach them the proper way, right?
Sorry,
Pam. I thought you were done.
So other planets don't have the same freedom of the suns to choose, and have liberty. This is unique.
No, it's not the planets. No, it's not the planets. It's a local universe, Pam.
So our local universe is unique and the other ones are not. This is what Michael had.
They're each one unique, but the creator suns decide how they want to set up their personnel, you know, and how much freedom to give them. So since our creator son gives them such free will, that's what it boils down to, is more free will choosing. It makes them better leaders in the future. And that's why he does that. Mm-hmm. But they have a tendency mm-hmm. to default easier too, mm-hmm. you know, because of that free will.
Yeah,
Gary.
I've observed, you know, when Michael took command over us, he brought the Mother Spirit and gave her equal ability.
Right.
It's out of love. I'm seeing right. this thing here in the land with the rulers here. I'm just wondering if it's the same. I mean, logic.
Oh, it's an act of love that he does this. You know, he wants to give them as much freedom as they could possibly have, because being local universe sons, they will never have the opportunity to, number one, procreate. You know, they can't have their own sons and daughters, right? And they can't create their own local universes. So by giving them more free will, it gives them more of the experience of having the experience that he has. Make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does.
Mm-hmm. You know,
mm-hmm.
So it's out of love he does this. All right. It's interesting here in this paragraph too. They mention, with the exception of Hensalon, that must have been some kind of rebellion in Hensalon.
Yeah, because
They mention it many times throughout the book.
Do they have a celestial inquirer that we might read it about it?
Maybe when you get to the mansion world, you know, you can look on one of their little monitors and say, would you show me what happened in Hensalon? So.
Would it be right to assume then those planets are behind us?
They have more experience than us. You know, that could have happened millions of years ago. We don't know. They don't tell us.
Okay. They could have caught up by now.
They could have caught up by now. That's right. That's right. And learn their lessons and try and share with other local universe. I mean, other systems, right? All right. Let's see. Who's next? Letch, did you just read?
I did.
Yeah. Oh, you did. Okay. All right. Gary, I think you're up again.
In the event of a rebellion, is that it?
Right. Yeah, that's it.
Of rebellion on a system headquarters, a new sovereign is usually installed within a comparatively short time. but not so in the individual planets. They are the component units of the material creation, and creature free will is a factor in the final adjudication of such problems. Successor planetary princes are designated for isolated worlds, planets whose princes of authority may have gone astray, but they do not assume active rulership of such worlds until the results of the insurrection are partially overcome and removed by the remedial measures adopted by the Melchizedeks and other administrating personalities. Rebellion by a planetary prince instantly isolates his planet. The local spiritual circuits are immediately severed. Only a bestowal son can reestablish interplanetary lines of communication on such a spiritual isolated world. So Jesus has reconnected the lines of communication.
Well, he can reconnect the lines of communication at any time. But we need to understand here what they're talking about. When a planetary prince rebels, it throws the whole world off, okay? So then all the inhabitants of the planet have to make a decision, a final decision. Remember I talking about final decisions last time? They have to make a final decision whether they're going to follow the rule of Michael or they're going to rebel with the rebellious planetary prince. Now, if they choose to rebel with the rebellious planetary prince, then most of the time, adjudication has to start before the planetary prince can be removed. You got it? Because he's in charge of all these rebellious beings, okay? So they don't just jerk him off the planet. The planet keeps going on, and then they see how many beings go into rebellion, and every one of them eventually has to make that final decision. When they make that final decision, they would either follow Michael or follow the rebellious being. That's when, for them, the system either counts them as salvaged or defaulted, right? So if you die and you're under the defaulted realm, guess who doesn't wake up? The defaulted realm. You follow me? That's part of judgment. Mm-hmm. If you decide you will follow Jesus or you will follow God the Father and God the Son, then you were counted as salvaged. So you wake up on the mansion world, either in the next resurrection or on the third day, one of the two. Make sense? But they just don't jerk the planetary prince off the planet. Not until when? They send a bestowal son. And what are they talking about? We talked about this when we talked about the sons of God, right? The bestowal sons are the magisterial sons. And it can be a bestowal son that starts as a babe and goes through just like Jesus did. Or it could be a bestowal son that comes to the planet and does a bestowal with 12 other Melchizedeks. They come as visible to the planet, right? With the bestowal son also. And eventually that bestowal son is responsible for what? Adjudication of the planet. Okay. So when that bestowal son is done with his mission, what he would do is he would try to salvage as many beings as he possibly could, just like Jesus did. What did Jesus constantly say? Let's go save some souls, right? Over and over again. So these bestowal sons come down and they try to save as many souls as they possibly can. But when they're considered done with their mission, that's when they have an adjudication And all those that have agreed to follow Jesus or agreed to follow the Son will be saved. And all those who don't, what happens to them?
Gone.
They're gone. Cease to exist.
Done.
Done. When they die, right? Okay, Gary.
Jesus is the one that came down and did the bestowal, right?
Right.
Okay, yeah. And he brings 12 with him, right?
Well, not Jesus, because 12 were already here.
So were they the apostles?
No. There are 12 Melchizedeks. They were stationed on the planet when Jesus came already. But normally a bestowal son will bring 12 Melchizedeks with them. And when they do, they're usually visible to all beings because they have to make themselves visible. If it's not an incarnation, Gary, then they have to be incarnated into the type of being that lives on the planet as a babe, right? Mm-hmm. But if it's just a bestowal, that's not the way it works. If it's just a bestowal, they appear on the planet with 12 Melchizedeks and just makes themselves visible. Okay.
Then you come on and say, here I am.
Here I am. I bet that's impressive. I mean, you know, if you just appeared during the age like Jesus did, if they appeared in Jerusalem, just out of the blue, I think you'd have had a whole lot more people thinking, maybe we ought to follow this guy, don't you think?
Yeah, that would
have
been nice
thing
to do.
You know?
Where were they? Do anybody know where they were? I mean, what, there was 12 on
12 Melchizedek, right? Yeah, there were 12 on Earth. They were the administration of the planet when Jesus came.
Okay? But they weren't on Earth.
Yeah, they were. They were on Earth because of the default of Adam and Eve.
Okay, so did anybody see him?
Well, Caligasta could see him. All the midwayers could see him. All the celestial beings can see him, just not humans, because we don't have the eyesight to see him. Now, the interesting part, they could make themselves visible to anyone anytime they chose to do so, but they normally don't do that unless it's to benefit mankind or do a certain thing that benefits a certain person or prophet or something along that line, right? Doesn't happen often, you know? Just like Melchizedek coming to the planet as a human being, that doesn't happen that often either. Yeah, Jane.
I was just thinking out loud, actually. I apologize for that. But even if there were humans who did see them, it wouldn't be recorded because they would have appeared as an unknown, as just a human being, maybe.
Yeah, that's possible, you know.
You know.
That's possible. You could think they were an angel. You could think they were a lot of different things, unless they told you differently.
Yeah.
That's what you would go on thinking, right? You could also think they were an apparition in your mind, right?
Or you could think a stranger came, a stranger, an unknown person. You could think a stranger came.
The problem with them doing that is this, and I don't know how I can explain this easily, but I'm going to try to because it makes it a little more clear. When a celestial being appears before a human being because of our fear factor, we're afraid of everything, right? We really are. Psychically, it can damage you because you're not able to comprehend what you're seeing with the reality you live in, okay? So it can psychically damage you for them to appear. Just like the midwayers, when the midwayers appeared before these tribesmen, you know, as devils and demons, these people were affected forever, right? It's not like they just appear, they go away, and everything's hunky-dory. That's not the way it works. It psychically changes you forever because your reality of the world suddenly gets overexpanded in an instant. You know, makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Am I talking to the air?
No,
it's actually very clear. You know, and it reminds me of what I went through when I saw that being walking towards me during our accident. Yeah. And it could have been a Melchizedek. It
could have been any of them. Yeah, an angel, whatever. People see angels. Yeah. You know, they say that right before you die, if you're terminal, many, many people see their guardian angels right before they pass. And that's documented over and over and over and over again, because people will be in their hospital beds and they'll suddenly sit up and say, do you see that angel standing beside you? You know, that, those sort of things happens over and over again. Or they think they see a loved one that's passed right before they die. That's grandmother. She's came to get me, you know. That's the way the psyche works, you know, and that's why these beings just don't appear before you milly-molly, and they will not let themselves be recorded on videos and stuff like that normally, right? So if you're watching Ghost Hunters expecting to see Melchizedeks, I think you're going to be disappointed, right?
Not going to happen. EDPs are just fake things, huh? There's electronic data EDBs or something like that, electronic data blips or something, or
who's to know? It could be midwares, shadows of midwares. It could be a lot of different things, you know. They say that there are no ghosts on the planet. Once you die, you're gone, right? Mm-hmm. So it's what you want to believe, you know. I've seen apparitions. I've seen the videos of apparitions, and they look real. Yeah, they do. But it's what you want to believe. You know, it's what you want, what's in your psyche that you want to believe. All right. That we just read that. Right. Okay. Let's keep going here. It also mentions in this picture the rebellious Lanonandex after rehabilitation are reassigned jobs as custodial duties, departments of physical administration. They will never be over other humans again.
Yeah.
Okay. They're not allowed to.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Let's go on to the next one. I don't remember who just read. Jane, did you just read?
No.
I think Millie's time. It's Millie. Millie was gone when we were reading here. Millie, would you take the next one?
Yes.
There exists a plan?
There exists a plan for saving these wayward and unwise souls, and many have availed themselves of this merciful provision. But never again may they function in those positions wherein they defaulted. After rehabilitation, they are assigned to custodial duties and to departments of physical administration.
So they don't ever go back to their old jobs. They call them wayward and unwise sons. That's, I wouldn't want to be tacked that. Yeah. Forever. You know. They have Lennon on deck world. They had to what?
It's like being called an ex-con.
Yeah. Yeah, really. All right, Jane, I think you're up, and then we'll have Pam read.
Okay. 10, the Lanonandek worlds. The third group of seven worlds in the Salvington circuit of 70 planets with their respected 42 satellites constitute the Lanonandek cluster of administrative spheres. On these realms, the experienced Lanonandeks belonging to the ex-system sovereign core officiate as an administrative teachers of the ascending pilgrims and the seraphic hosts. The evolutionary mortals observe the system administrators at work on the system capitals, but here they participate.
Ah, we lost Jane there, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
She froze almost. Okay, I'll finish on the but here they participate in the actual coordination of the administrative pronouncements of the 10,000 local systems. So these are the next group of worlds we'll go through, and we have to go through them just like the Lanananda and the Seraphic Host goes through it too, right? All right.
Really beautiful.
Yeah, being good company. Yeah, yeah. Okay, Pam, would you take the next one, please?
The third group of seven worlds?
No, the administrative schools of local universes.
These administrative schools of the local universe are supervised by a corps of Lanananduk sons who have had long experience as system sovereigns and as constellation counselors. These executive colleges are excelled only by the administrative schools of ENSA.
And we know what ENSA is? It's the minor sector, right? All right. It's the next step off when we become first stage spirits. Lech, will you please take the next one while serving as training spheres?
Yeah. Okay. While serving as training spheres for ascending mortals, the Lanananduk worlds are the centers for extensive undertakings having to do with the normal and routine administrative operations of the universe. All the way into paradise, the ascending pilgrims pursue their studies in the practical schools of applied knowledge, actual training in really doing the things they are being taught. The universe educational system sponsored by the Melchizedeks is practical, progressive, meaningful, and experiential. It embraces training in things material, intellectual, moral, and spiritual.
So they cover all the bases, don't they?
Yeah.
Pretty much, you know, if you think about it.
Roger, did I finish the reading?
No, I finished it for you. You only missed it by one sentence.
The computer kicked me out. So when I my screen was
froze.
I know. Yeah, froze. I'm on my cell phone now.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Matter of fact, since you didn't get a finish, you want to take the next paragraph?
Are we at while now?
No, it's what it is in connection with these administrative spheres. 10-4.
Oh, okay. I missed the whole thing. It is in connection with these administrative spheres of the Lanananduks that most of the salvaged sons of that order serve as custodians and directors of planetary affairs. And these defaulting planetary princes and their associates in rebellion who choose to accept the pro-offered rehabilitation will continue to serve in these routine capacities, at least until the universe of Nebadon is settled in light and life.
Okay, so they'll do all the jobs nobody else wants, right? All right, Rodney, would you take the last paragraph and who read it for us? I mean, who sponsored it for us?
Like I was saying, like cleaning the toilets.
Yeah.
But they're needed.
Yeah. Somebody's got to do it.
Right? I need it.
So many of the Lanananduk sons in the older systems, however, have established wonderful records of service, administration, and spiritual achievement. They are a noble, faithful, and loyal group, notwithstanding their tendency to fall into error through fallacies of personal liberty and fictions of self-determination.
They sound humans, don't they?
Yeah, they do. They sound
humans. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and read that last little bit too, Robin.
Yeah. Sponsored by the chief of archangels, acting by authority of Gabriel of Salvington.
Okay, so he's pretty high up. Okay, by the way, let me mention this so we don't mislead anybody out in La La Land. There are no toilets in the super universe.
My God.
Yeah. You get to the Manson world, that's a thing of the past, right? Thank goodness. All right. No need for them anymore.
Here I all was right, next. Wondering if they were no fogs.
Next time we'll take up paper 36, the life carriers.
Yep. Yes. But over there, right, it's not like here on Earth. So they would still be treated with respect and kindness and
they would be.
They would be. So they're probably happy with their position.
We lost the last part of that, Jane. You bleeped out on us.
Oh, I said they are probably happy with their position, with their current position.
They would be. Yeah, they would be, because just being alive in the universe is better than nothing, right?
And taken in, too, to be, you know, accepted and welcomed back. And
right, right. That's true. Okay. So we made it through another paper. Four sections. That's pretty good, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, let's have a little short prayer and we'll quit for tonight. Pam, would you like to close us in prayer tonight?
Sure. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we are full of gratitude for these inspirational readings to guide us and lead us forward. And we thank you in your everlasting blessings and love. We thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. And thank you at home for joining us. Let me stop the Facebook here. Please come see us again.
Stop. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Thanks for coming. And we will see you next time.
See y'all again.
So glad to be back.